tweet at Today SOR.
A win for Ireland against Samoa, but now we face the mighty New Zealand, the All Blacks, in the Rugby World Cup quarterfinals. A point for Ireland in the Euro qualifiers, but a dull display against Georgia that in soccer. Plenty of action in the club hurling and football championships, and Olympic places in the bag for McCormack and McLenahan. Now, for a look back at the weekend sport, I'm joined by Hugo McNeil, former Ireland rugby international, Damien Lawler, author and sports broadcaster, Marie Crowe, presenter of Game On and 2FM, and on the phone is Peter Bills, sports journalist and author of The Jersey, his book on the All Blacks. Hugo, a place in the quarterfinals for Ireland after that win against Samoa, but now, as I say, we're playing the mighty All Blacks. Give us the reasons for hope.
Well, there's a hope we've beaten them twice in the last couple of years, and this team has shown that at its best it's capable of beating any side in the world. I mean, I think the reality, the challenge, Sean, is that the game that was good enough for us to win the Grand Slam, the other good teams have figured out that game and have actually sort of nullified it. And because Joe hasn't been able to pick a consistent enough back line, we haven't really had an attacking back play. So if you kind of think, when back to a couple of years ago when the CJ Standard, Peter Manny, Tadhg Furlong, picking and driving. England and Lansdowne Road last year stopped us on the gain line. Wales and Cardiff, Japan a couple of weeks ago. So they figured out that game. And the problem where Joe has been very unlucky is that since Johnny and Brian and Gordon sort of played together, he hasn't been able to pick a consistent midfield due to injury that has enabled to bring the rest of the back line into play. So you had Jared Payne, you had Robbie Henshaw, you had Bundiaki, you had Gary Ringrose, you had Chris Farrell. Now people might say, well, look, they're all good players. They should be able to knit. But it's really hard. If you look at the All Blacks that won the World Cup the last time, Dan Carter, Manon, Conrad Smith. And I've spent a lot of time talking to Gordon Darcy about this. And he's of the same view. And, you know, Gordon said, it took him 4 years to change from being a winger fullback to a centre. Now Gordon was a child prodigy at school, so it's tough, and that's what's the real challenge now is that people have figured out our game. But maybe we've one or two things up our sleeve, but we'll get a huge performance that on Saturday, I think.
Peter Bills, you're out there, and tell me about the All Blacks. I mean, they haven't sat around and said, okay, we're just going to improve the people we have. They've had a lot of changes since they were last in Ireland, since they were beaten by the Irish.
Yeah, they have. I think it's interesting what Hugo just said, because I think in some ways the All Blacks sort of mirror that. They haven't had consistency in the midfield since Conrad Smith and Mar Nonu finished at the end of the 2015 World Cup. They've sort of picked and chosen and changed and swapped about a bit, and there are a lot of people in New Zealand who feel that that might come home to roost one day. Now, whether it's going to happen on Saturday is another matter, but I think New Zealand perhaps have lost that air of invincibility that they had sort of 4 years ago. I think that they're beatable. That's not to say they're going to lose, but they are potentially beatable. I mean, we saw what Australia did a few weeks ago in the Rugby Championship. Was it 37-0 in Perth? They beat them. So, yeah, they have days where they're less than convincing, but I think what you're going to get from New Zealand on Saturday is almost like a sort of a shark going for the blood. They sense they're just three games away from really rugby immortality. I mean, if New Zealand win again this time, three successive world titles, I'm willing to bet hardly anybody would ever do that in the future. So I think they will come together. I think they'll be probably at their best so far. We haven't seen them at their best in the World Cup, but that's understandable because of the lesser opposition. But as I say, as Hugo said at the start, the point is, why not? It could happen. Ireland have beaten them twice in the last three times. So it's not as if Ireland got to go back 100 years to see the last time they beat them.
Yeah. And the other point, Sean, is that actually, to echo Peter's point, is that this All Black team doesn't have the kind of leaders throughout the team that they had in 2015 and 2011. And the one thing the Irish team does is leaders in strong positions.
And Marie Crowe, looking at Stuart Barnes' analysis in the Sunday Times yesterday, saying that, at that stage it wasn't clear it was going to be New Zealand. He was talking about New Zealand and South Africa. Neither of these nations will take the field without a degree of trepidation. Ireland, at their best, are still a little on the ugly side, but they're extremely effective.
They are. And look, they haven't made huge increases in their performance, I thought, over the pool stages, but they are getting there and they're building all the time. And it was great to see Johnny Sexton today today in his press conference, so confident. And, you know, he was just saying, like, they're just going to give it everything this week. And that's it. Like what Hugo says, you know, it's a World Cup. Like, it's knockout rugby. It's do or die. And, like, you have to have faith that they can do it because, you know, they've done it before. And this is what they've been working for 4 years.
What do you think, Damien? I mean, Bundiaki's red card, that's a bad outcome for Ireland, obviously. But on the other hand, no serious injuries, you know, against the Samoans.
No, a red card is going to be very hard to get around that. The positives for me are Tadhg Furlong. Johnny Sexton's in great form. I think Rob Kearney will start. He'll be very, very steady. A lot of the Irish players have beaten the All Blacks 3 times, if you include the Lions as well. So that hoodoo is gone. Conor Murray seems to be picking up his form a little bit as well. And as the guys were saying here, it's a knockout rugby event. I don't think we've got the form lines to actually go and do it, but I think there are reasons to be positive.
Hugo, just, Damien is saying that it won't necessarily be Jordan Larmour to start at fullback. Do you think it should be?
I think it should be Rob Kearney in this game. I think this game is going to be one that's little things are going to be very important, and I think it's going to be very important that we take the momentum to the All Blacks. And Rob Kearney has been very strong. Jordan Larmour has great talents.
Man of the match on Saturday.
Yeah, been broken against Samoa. With all due respect, we're not a very good side. The defensively were awful, and Jordan has talents that I would love to have had when playing fullback many years ago. But I think for this game, you'll have to have. This is going to be little things are going to be sort of key, and I think Rob's record over the last couple of years, I would definitely start with Rob.
Peter Bills, is there an Irish player that the Kiwis will fear?
I think they are professional enough to say that we potentially fear all of them. Whether fear is the word they'll use, I doubt. But they will have great respect for the whole lot of them, particularly such established halfbacks as Murray and Sexton. And then you go out a bit further. I agree with Hugo about Rob Kearney, a fullback. I think in games like this, you must go for the experience and the quality, the proven ability of someone like Kearney. I wouldn't want to be starting without him. So I think, yeah, and you go up front, you look at Furlong, you look at Best, been there, done it so many times, and the emergence of James Ryan, and a fantastic, fantastic lock who's widely and deeply respected in New Zealand. So there's plenty of players the All Blacks will be thinking, we have to get this right. Otherwise, if we're 5, 10% off, we could get beaten here.
And Hugo, South Africa won't necessarily be taking Japan for granted, will they?
I don't think anyone will be taking Japan for granted. Wasn't that fantastic? Fantastic. It was just extraordinary. I toured in Japan a few times. I know what this tournament has meant to them. We met a lot of them when we were bidding for the 2023 World Cup. They were worried about, would we be ready to host the world? Would we be, quote, humiliated on the field? Well, it's been anything but. And haven't they been just fantastic? It was really important for world rugby to go to Japan. Rugby's still quite a small sport in the world, but you had to go to Japan. You had to have Japan do well. And, you know, I know there was the issues around the storms, but it needed that game to be played yesterday, and it needed a huge Japanese performance. And look at the scenes afterwards, not just in the stadium, but all over the country.
Let's turn to soccer now. Marie, the draw against Georgia, scoreless. Eamon Dunphy in the Star says it was as deadly dull and dispiriting as at any time under Martin O'Neill and Giovanni Trapattoni. It was an awful match to watch.
It was very difficult, and I think probably because there was so much excitement and expectation heading into it as well. We had just watched the under-21s against Italy doing so well, and then we were faced with such a disappointing performance. Just a lack of creativity, cohesion, like just not creating chances. We were all screaming, I think, for Aaron Connolly to come on. He, like 78th minute before we actually saw him, and then we saw what he was capable of, which kind of added to the disappointment. Now, there was positives. John Egan, Shane Duffy, you know, they were solid there, but like the reality is now we've got to go and try and beat Switzerland tomorrow night, and it's hard to see how we're going to do that.
Yeah, like you were screaming for Connolly to come on. Poor James Collins was like a battering ram up there in his own with no ball coming anywhere near him. I mean, to be fair to him, I watched him play with Luton Town in the Championship last week, and he was highly effective because there was actually a diagonal ball going into him. But
he wasn't like, getting the ball, did he?
No, he wasn't. Yeah. And Shane Long should have been there anyway in the first place. He's starting to get more game time with Southampton, and people argue Shane Long spends his Irish career going into corner flags, but that's the way the team is set up. However, We have an unmerciful fighting spirit, and I know it's an awful cliche and I'm reluctant to use it, but that team will fight to the... And James McLean gave the ball away about 20 times, but he'll be the first person to go and try and make up for that. So while you wait for Stephen Kenny's crop to come in, we have what we have. Aaron Connolly will surely start, but it's pointless starting him unless all the midfielders move closer to him and that the balls are played through the right channels. It's pointless playing Aaron Connolly if you lobby it into the corner flag and ask him to go after it. There's no cohesion in that.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with Michael Foley in the Sunday Times yesterday saying it was hacky agricultural stuff. Georgia dominated possession and did practically nothing with it. For the little Ireland accomplished in possession themselves, they may as well have handed the ball back.
One win and we're there, I think. And all the hoo-ha about the young players coming in will be shelved.
Do we go all out against the Swiss tomorrow then, Hugo?
I think you have to go all out in both because you know we just would have to get a win, you know, somehow. But it's tough. It was a painful match, and you know, just thought maybe there's a chance that we were kind of sneaking at the end and everyone forgets everything else except the result. But unfortunately, we're confronted with the hard realities.
The way we do these things, we'll need the win against Denmark.
We can't go all out because we get hammered. We pin the ears back. We get men behind the ball. We try and tough the breakdown and we try and pinch a Shane Duffy going near the end. Aaron Connolly might knock one in, but it'll be 1-0 or maybe at a push 2-1 if we do win.
Marie, tomorrow important matters. The club hurling and football.
Yes.
We'll start with Six Mile Bridge versus Cratloe. You found yourself interviewing your own father yesterday. I hope you didn't go easy on it.
I was trying to be completely impartial, but it was difficult. It was a lovely story just from a personal point of view because my dad was the manager of Six Mile Bridge and my brother-in-law is living with my parents at the moment. He's married to my sister and they're saving to buy a house. So my dad was managing Six Mile Bridge and my brother-in-law was playing for Cratloe. So for the last 2 weeks the house was like a battle zone. I think Mikey Hawes is his name, he was playing full back yesterday. He was afraid to eat anything, you know, just in case. they were going in and out different doors. Yeah, but it was very much like their neighbouring parishes, complete rivals. Mikey had said to my sister, you know, numerous times over the years, you know, if anything ever happens to me, the kids are paying for Cratloe. So it's like it's real rivalry.
And
yeah,
you had other connections with the team as well, didn't you?
So my brother then was in the backroom team and my dad was the manager. My brother was doing the physical training with them. He's a runner. So it was just lovely and all. We all went down yesterday and Six Mile Bridge won, which was fantastic. Mikey played well, which was good as well. We were kind of keeping an eye on him as well. And great night last night then. We went to, they were beeping through the village and they had a truck and
fantastic.
Niall Gilligan was singing the transit van and it was brilliant.
And he's a guy who's been around for a while, hasn't
Unbelievable.
He?
Unbelievable. The man has done 25 seasons at the top level with Clare Hurley, which is, you know, it's very competitive and just fantastic.
And
came
no
on yesterday.
The truck, I trust.
No, I know. I was warning them before they went up, but no, it was all good down there.
Yeah, a win too for Ballygunner in hurling in Waterford.
They're the kings. They're the kings of Waterford. You know, a 7 medal for the Hutchisons. Desi's back there as well. Very, very hard to. I suppose compete with what they've done in the past few years. Going back to Gilligan and the transit van, I think I heard that back in 1999. First of all, that's how long he's around. An unbelievable servant. I was down yesterday watching my own club, Killer One. We beat the county champions in Tipperary, Clonalty Rossmore. But we play a county semi final next weekend. So you know, it's this time of year. It's all about where you grew up and where you're from.
Yeah, and in football, a lot of county finals. For Ban beating Road and Offaly again, a sort of long threatened coming to pass. I suppose
an awful long time for them to be out of the shadows, I suppose, really is a huge thing for them.
Great scenes down there last night as well.
Great scenes. There was a great crowd down there to welcome them home. I suppose really a lot of players, Hugo, have said over the years that you represent your county, but when you win with your club, it's way more special because of who you grew up with. And I suppose you probably can see that yourself from the outside, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's fantastic. And I was down at my wife's aunt's in Glenfarn in Leitrim, and sort of said all the excitement. And I actually played for Leitrim many years ago in New York.
You did.
Can we see the paperwork trail on that one?
I got a job as a busboy in Rosie O'Grady's, and Colin O'Rourke was kind of playing as well. And I got a couple of jammy goals, and I got a job for the week. So it was absolutely fantastic. Very proud of my Leitrim.
Oh, brilliant. Roots
and not to mention, of course, well, there was Trillig victorious in Tyrone, Castlerahan beating Ramor United in Cavan, if I pronounce that, Portlaoise beating Killeshan, and then the Dublin quarterfinals that saw Kilmacud progress and Athena lose out to Ballyboden, and your man Mershon, he had another one of those bursts of speed and not too many solos and no one counting the steps.
Well, he goes so fast you miss from seven step onwards steps. You miss it. Desi Dolan, by the way, as well in Westmeath, he played potentially his last game. Well, not potentially, he'll play in the Leinster Championship, but he's going to down tools in his own domestic championship as well. So it gives the club's championships gives you a chance to farewell to long serving stars like Gilligan as well. Will he come back again next year, Marie?
No, he said that this is it, but he says like that quite regularly. But I think this time it actually might be the case because he's only coming on for cameos at the end, and the commitment is so massive. It's hard for him to keep giving that match for.
Wasn't a lovely story about Desi Dolan saying I have to come off. Or,
he's Gary's brother, and Gary's the manager, and they haul him off at half time.
And Davy Fitz, of course, is involved with Six Mile Bridge as well.
Now, in Marathon in Chicago, Fionnuala McCormack coming fifth there, and what's more, looking comfortable. So, confirmed place for Tokyo.
Yeah, fantastic and a great achievement. She's had a baby as well a little while ago, so see her coming back in that shape and doing amazing things. It's brilliant.
And good news in gymnastics, a bronze for East McClenaghan in the pommel horse in the World Championships, and he says he can work on increasing the difficulty.
Yeah, and I suppose that's why he didn't win gold, because his competitor took on a more difficult routine, but his place is secured for Tokyo already, and it's just great. It's our first ever medal at that at that juncture.
My Twitter highlight of the weekend was looking at this morning the haka being performed in the Four Lambs pub in Lyra Crumpron in Kerry, two lads from New Zealand a long way from home.
I was going to say after Leitrim from County Fermanagh. Where was Hugo?
They perform that everywhere, Sean.
In news headlines, and my thanks to you all, by the way, sorry, Hugo McNeil, Marie Crowe and Damien.
Lawler. It's only been 5 years of this day.
I'm having one of those days. You know, I call Finney McGrath, John Halligan, but anyway, look, you know, we're all forgiven, I hope.
I've been called worse.